darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is the gospel of the Lord. To him who loves us and has washed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Death. Death. It is our great common enemy. Generally speaking, it is fairly predictable. It bears its head many times and warns us of its attack in advance. For example, when the 90-year-old grandma suffering in the retirement home dies with her children and grandchildren surrounding her, we see that coming and we can say to ourselves, she lived a good life, a good and long life. In the same way, we can anticipate death's attack. When people are sick with cancer, for the medical doctors will oftentimes give us estimations of how long a person will live. Thus, when our loved one passes away from the dreadful cancer, we painfully say to ourselves, that damn cancer won the battle, but now at least my loved one is no longer suffering. Indeed, even though it is never easy, it seems that we tend to process death better when we can see it coming, when we have been given time to prepare for it, and when the context warrants it. However, things get messy when death does not act the way that we think it should, or when it pounces on us without warning. What I'm trying to say is this. When death comes to us in the middle of a freak accident, or when it comes to us out of the blue, or when it comes and bites down on us when we least expect it, we realize the blunt reality that no matter how valiantly we fight for life, death always seems to come out on top. These instances cause us to realize that death always throws the knockout punch. Death always gets the TKO on us. With death, there is no post-victory celebration, just a cold bed 6 feet under death's feet. All this said, it brings us painfully to today. Today, right here and right now. Right now, where we are faced with the reality that death is before us. It struck without warning. Jeff, your husband, father, son, brother, and friend, has been attacked by death's vicious attack, and we are left here to make sense of everything. As we are filled with a variety of emotions, death, though, it really shows no mercy as it laughs at us with a sly grin. Now, for some of you, you may be mad and frustrated with death. That is understandable, and that is very healthy. At the jarring news of Jeff's passing, you may have tightened your fist, cursed at death, and screamed out in anger. You may have punched at death with your words, saying something like this: "Curse you, death! Damn you, death! To hell with you, death!" For others of you, you may be sorrowful and sad with death. That is understandable and healthy as well. At the jolting news of Jeff's passing, you may have felt tension in your chest, a tightening in your throat, and the emotions of it all made you want to collapse inward on yourself as if the tears were being squeezed right out of you. And so it seems, my friends, that we are left with anger and sadness when death strikes without warning. We can experience both of these emotions separately and at the same time. You are not alone, though. You are not alone, though, with these emotions. In our gospel reading from this morning, we hear about another death, the death of Lazarus. No, he was not just a casual friend of Jesus. He was more like a brother to Jesus. Lazarus had died, and as Jesus approached the tomb of Lazarus, we hear that Jesus wept and was deeply moved. That is to say that he was angry and sorrowful with death as well. But why the tears from Jesus? Jesus had sorrow and he shed tears in a silent manner because he had witnessed the effects of the wretched and deadly grip of sin on mankind. He wept over death, which stings mankind. He wept over the death of Lazarus, which was a result of this world that is in bondage to sin and death. Today, take comfort, for you are not alone. The Savior wept over death and suffering. Jesus wept over death because it is not the way that things are supposed to be. You see, God, he created us originally in harmony and peace with him, immortality forever, to live forever. However, as we hear from Scripture, sin entered the picture and marred our relationship with God. It turned everything upside down and made things just simply wrong. Pain and suffering and conflict and fear and worry and death are a result of sin. My sin, your sin, and your neighbor's. Christ, though, he wept because of the pain of sin in our lives, and he weeps with us when we experience the sorrow of death from this broken, chaotic world that we live in. What a Lord we have, that will weep with his children. He weeps with us because he loves us. His tears are because he loves you. Not only did our gospel reading from this morning say that Jesus wept over death, it also said that he was deeply moved. Otherwise stated, as Jesus approached the tomb of Lazarus, he not only wept, but he snorted at death. In a literal sense, he was ticked off. He was disgusted. He grunted at death. He sighed at death. He mumbled in anger towards death. And he expressed hatred and anger towards the deep, dark tomb. Today, take comfort. You are not alone. Jesus angered over death and suffering. Jesus angered over death because it is not the way things are supposed to be. Thus, when we anger, and when we shake our fist at death, and we cry out in pain, we have a Savior who angered at death as well. When we punch at death or weep over death, we have a Savior that understands us. When we grind our teeth or we want to collapse inward on ourselves, Christ knows. He understands, for he angered and wept as well. Now, it does bring us some comfort this morning to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he understands us. Furthermore, to express our anger and vocalize our sorrow is healthy and it is good and it is natural. All that stated, though, we must confess that these emotions, even though they are valid, are just that. They are emotions. After we grit our teeth, after we have cursed at death, shaken our fists, wept, cried, screamed, and groaned, death, my friends, it is still there grinning at us as the victor. We cry and death, it smirks. We snarl and death laughs. We are powerless to tame this wild enemy or overpower this mighty foe. Beyond the emotions of anger and sorrow, there must be something more than death and sin and the devil dancing at a victorious song, we say to ourselves. Don, Betty, Wanda, Jackie, Brian, Lindsay, Kyle, Cody, Ashley, Jordan, Cody and Ambrosia, and friends and family. There is more, though. There is more. What we see with our eyes can lead us to believe that it is all over, that the chips have been cashed in, that the fat lady has sung, and that we are at the end of our rope. However, looks can be deceiving. Sure, this last week we all encountered death's trophies of victory, which may lead us to imagine that death has won. Trophies such as death certificates, life insurance policies, coffins, cemetery plans, the death of a beloved son, husband, father, and friend. With all this in our minds and before us in this sanctuary this morning, it may be a hard place for us to be unless standing beside all of us is the one who stands triumphant upon the neck of death itself. My friends, there's more than meets the eye. You see, when death bares its fangs, all that we can do is respond. However, that is not true with our Lord Jesus Christ. It is true that he wept and he angered at death, at the death of Lazarus, but that is not all that he did. Jesus is not limited to mere emotions like you and me, but rather he wept and he angered at the point of death that he did something about it. There in the midst of the grieving crowd at the cemetery where Lazarus had been buried for 4 days, Christ, he stepped forward and spoke towards the dark tomb. He spoke into the quiet caverns of death. Lazarus, come out. And so Lazarus did. The dead man was ripped from the arms of death by the one whom death could not hold in the tomb, Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection, raised Lazarus. That dead man, Lazarus, who now lived, was a living trophy of Christ's victory over the enemy called death. This, my friends, is possible because he is not like you and me. Christ is not like you and me. While our emotions are limited, his weeping, that is Jesus' weeping and anger, it moved him right into the center of the jaws of death and the sting of sin. Otherwise stated, his tears led him to the lair of death and a collision with sin. There at the cross of Mount Calvary, the Son of God was not some sort of sissy, mansy, pansy Savior. He was not a victim that we should feel sorry for. No, his tears and his anger led him to do that which we could not do, to confront sin and to come against death itself on our behalf. And so Christ, he dies the death that we could not die. He tastes our sin and he bears it upon himself as the dark valley of the shadow of death encroaches upon him. Even though our sin upon Christ damned Christ and death bit into him, Christ Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He said it himself and he proved it with an empty tomb. Listen now, my friends. Listen right now, hear these words. With Christ, sin, the devil, and death do not have the final TKO. With Christ, sin, the devil, and death do not come out on top. With Christ, death does not smirk, for its jaws were ripped apart when Christ came forth from the grave fully resurrected. With Christ, a stake was driven through death, rendering it powerless and void. With Christ, life, not death, has the final word. With Christ, even though sin and death put us in the grave, our baptisms place us in Jesus' grave, where we will be raised up glorious with the mighty Savior at the final judgment. Jesus is alive. He is the resurrected one, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty as our shade. Indeed, it is true. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him will live even though he die. And whoever lives and believes in the Christ will never die. Therefore, just as Christ called Lazarus by name, and the grave was completely powerless in holding Lazarus back from the call of his Lord and Savior, in Christ the grave is not the final word for you and for me. In Christ, you are ripped from the arms of sin and death onto the arms of everlasting life. So dear friends and family, here and now in the weeks to come, when the devil, when sin and death, when they come knocking at your door, they come with their threats and accusations and baring their teeth, declaring that you deserve death, hell, and damnation. Stand up and tell him this. Tell him this. I admit that I deserve death and hell and damnation, but what of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. My forgiveness, my resurrection, my hope, and my life. He defeated you. He lives. Where he is, there I shall also be. Now may the Lord of peace himself, Jesus Christ, firmly establish you in the forgiveness of sins and the hope of the resurrection and give you peace, hope, and courage always in every way, until he graciously takes you from this veil of tears to himself into heaven.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org. Or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.